Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, all of our social media outlets, and the finfanatic.com website, and as well as the FanSided Network. The Dolphins win tonight 20-3 on Monday Night Football against the Saints, a very battered Saints team. But still, this is the first time that the Dolphins have won seven games in a row since the 1985 season. That cannot be understated. And before we get into the show and we talk about the rest of the Dolphins' output here, I have to give a heads up to my co-host here. Because when the Dolphins were 1-7, Paul Picken gave the heads up to the rest of our fan base that the Dolphins had a little bit of a weaker schedule coming up. And now they've won seven in a row.
Yeah, I got annihilated for that.
Worse than anything I've ever seen on this show.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And you know me, if I feel I'm right, I don't really care what people have to say. We've been down this road before.
That's for sure.
It's but at the same time, you know, looking at the Dolphins schedule, looking at where records lay in the AFC East at that point in time, and the AFC itself at that point in time, crazier things had happened. And I think I used that exact phrase. This is a team that was getting Tua Tagovailoa back, was getting Raekwon Davis back, and we talked about the things that they needed to do to be able to move forward, drive forward, beat the teams that they should. And they started doing those things. They started using that cover zero exotic look that confuses opposing offenses. They started using that intermediate game with Tua and taking advantage of his accuracy. They started doing a lot of things out there that, granted, we've all heard all this nonsense, and Brian Griese certainly tried to beat it into our skull tonight about who the Dolphins have or haven't beat. They walked into the Ravens when the Ravens were still the Ravens and decimated them, laid a blueprint, shook them to their very core, and destroyed them. They had a good defense at that point, and they've been reeling ever since. Carolina Panthers had a good defense at that point, even if they were reeling on offense. And Miami made a mockery of those guys. So they haven't just beaten a bunch of nobodies. And you want to pull out this whole, oh, the Saints had 22 people on COVID. They had like five or six guys on their practice squad on the COVID list. One of the guys was their special teams coach, Darren Rizzi, who we're all familiar with. And you look at the Texans this week, who have a mediocre roster to begin with, and they walked out there with 20-something players on the COVID list. And 141-25, I think it was. Like,
I mean, Darren Rizzi was even on COVID this week. I mean, but there are a couple of things that can be true at one time. Yes, the Dolphins have played a terrible schedule lately. I mean, let's be honest. After the Ravens win on Monday Night Football back in Week 10, they've played the Jets twice. They've played the Panthers. They've played Thursday the Giants. Football. Yeah, Thursday Night Football, whatever. Same thing. Jets twice, Panthers, Giants, Saints here with half of the roster out. Those are five easy games in a row, but a couple of things can be true at once. It's hard to win seven games in a row in the NFL. And when you look at what the Dolphins have done here over the last several weeks, I mean, how many teams have gone from 1-7 to 8-7, regardless of the circumstances? The answer is pretty much close to nobody in the history of the sport.
Yeah, it's a big fat zero from my understanding. I mean, I'd have to really dive back in, but from what I understand, it's a zero. And it's funny because 2 weeks ago, when they were doing playoff scenarios, even with Miami right in the thick of it, folks were leaving them off the board entirely or pointing at them going, we're not going to talk about that. You know, and Miami is off, like, I think you may have said it already. I don't know if you said it on the air, off the air, or whatever. If the season ended today, Miami's in the playoffs.
They are in the playoffs. They would be going against the Tennessee Titans, who the Dolphins play next weekend, and Ryan Tannehill. And it would bring so much joy to my heart if the Dolphins came away with their eighth win in a row against Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. And that's a very winnable game. Right now, it's a 3 point to 3.5 point spread right now.
And it's great that with Miami controlling their own destiny right now, the next 2 weeks, they've got to go through Tannehill and they've got to go through Belichick. Get a couple of those demons off your back and drive in there.
And if that happens and the Dolphins go into the playoffs with 9 wins in a row, which now looks very, very possible, I don't see a team in the AFC that's going to want to play the Miami Dolphins.
No, I wouldn't want to face their defense right now, especially. It's and Miami started to show shades the past few weeks and a little bit tonight of finding ways to get creative on offense. Running that flea flicker, the pass to Christian Williams last week, or Wilkins last week, that appeared to be a speed option shovel pass to Waddle going back against the grain. All of those little things that start to put the defenses on their heels and take advantage of defenses that are pretty darn good, like the New Orleans Saints.
And they better continue to show their creativity, because as dominant as this defense was today, the offense really pissed me off at certain points.
I mean, really
for the entire first half. I mean, let's take a look at the drives here. I mean, the first drive, Tua misses a wide open Myles Gaskin punt. Second drive, field goal after the Nick Needham pick six. It's 10-0 Dolphins. But if that ball gets recovered by the Saints, I mean, might be talking about a completely different ball game. Third drive, punt after a missed challenge and this Jacoby Brissett nonsense. Stop bringing him out on 3rd and 4th and 1. Are you kidding me?
I wish they had reviewed that play, because that was pretty darn close. Not the spot, but that was a pretty darn close one.
I don't think that one was close, but the play before was when the sequence was on that third drive. Myles Gaskin caught the pass and had a first down, and I can't believe Brian Flores did not review that. And so it was 3rd and inches, and then Jacoby Brissett took the handoff, and instead of just going forward with it, he danced along the backfield, and then it was 4th and inches, and the Dolphins punted it. That could have been a completely different game and a blowout had the Dolphins had that drive gone differently, but still very happy with the win.
Well, and I want to park on that for 1 second, because there were a few moments in this game that really could have blown this open. I know I said it in our pregame show. I said it when I was over on the Hoodie Juby show as well. It's the way Miami beats New Orleans, especially with what New Orleans had on the field today, is you keep their offense in short series, create turnovers, create 3-and-outs. The Saints, for the first time with Sean Payton as the head coach tonight, did not convert a 3rd down in his history as a head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
0 for 12.
And it's you keep that defense on the field. We've seen it with our own defense when they're playing well. If our defense is out there all game, they wear down, they get defeated, they start to just start kicking rocks a little bit, even if they're not supposed to. And that's how you beat them. You wear them down as the game goes on so you can start doing some things and start being a little more effective on offense.
Yeah, I mean, and after that fourth or that third drive, the Dolphins' fourth drive, when they were up 10 to nothing, the Dolphins had the ball third and two, and it was a clear first down, and the refs called a flag on Liam Eichenberg when Eichenberg didn't even touch the defensive end.
He touched him three times, but it was literally this.
Yep. Tip. That's a perfect visual.
There's no...
For those that don't see what Paul's doing, he's just tapping his fingers together. I mean, and that was... Yeah. And then on the fifth drive, the Dolphins had two holding calls. Bad drive for the offensive line. A hold on Liam Eichenberg. A hold on Michael Dieter. And a hold on Austin Jackson. And then Tua was sacked on that drive as well. So that took him out of field goal range right before halftime, 10-3 game. And then on the sixth drive, it was a bad interception by Tua, but it was a different story in the second half. That 90-yard drive that put the Dolphins up 17-3, it was at that point, Paul, that I think we started to think the Dolphins have this game won.
Hey, Dolphins fans, if you're an NBA fan, you want to check out the Knuckleheads podcast. It brings on some of the best NBA players, past and present, to have totally unguarded conversations about sports, culture, and basketball nostalgia. It's hosted by former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. They're in their seventh season on the podcast. Some of the guests that they've got coming this season include Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Sue Bird, DeMar DeRozan. The guys will talk about everything from the golden era of sports, past culture, give you some untold stories. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you check out the link down in the show notes below. And again, that's the Knuckleheads podcast, hosted by former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. Yeah, no, that drive was beautiful. And Kelly, thank you. We'll get to that very shortly, trust me, as far as what it will take for the Dolphins to win the next 2 weeks. I think that's part of the analysis that we're doing right now. But no, that drive was a thing of beauty, and it was funny because when they were inside the five and we heard Brian Greasy, I believe it was, say, the Saints haven't allowed a red zone touchdown in over 10 quarters now. I went, oh, we're getting in. Like, it's that curse, that hoodoo, you name it, that the announcers tend to put on teams when they're doing something well for an extended period of time. And it happened again. It happened again. And Miami got in on a beautifully designed play following a defensive holding and roughing the passer penalty on the same play that set Miami up at the 1 from the 5-yard line.
Yeah, that was an incredible drive. I mean, 40-yard pass to Mac Hollins over Paulson Adebo, the cornerback who's played very well for the Saints this year. And then you had that flea flicker play on the same drive, 24 yards to Jaylen Waddle, and Duke Johnson truck sticks at the Saints defense and moves forward for a very important first down, and then capped off by a 1-yard touchdown by Jaylen Waddle. And after that, the game was over. I mean, the Dolphins defensively, 8 sacks on the day. And quite honestly, it should have been 11 or 12.
or 14 or 15. I mean, God, Jaylen Waddle was held off the stat sheet, or Jaylen Phillips was held off the stat sheet. But you know what? He chased a lot. And I've got to say, I am sick and tired of the folks that are completely down on Jerome Baker. He was an animal tonight. I keep hearing it week in and week out. He almost had 3 or 4 sacks in this one. I think he ended up officially with 1.5. But there were so many plays that he very directly impacted in this game that I, and if they hadn't if he had stepped out of bounds at the 1 yard line instead of going into the end zone with that ball, they might not have reviewed that fumble by Kamara that wasn't a fumble, and Miami might have had the ball at the 1 yard line. I'm not going to tell him to stay out of the end zone, but it was very like it's he just keeps making heads up plays, and he keeps getting in the backfield. He keeps blowing things up and chasing guys off. And this is against a quarterback, an Ian Book, that actually looked the part of an NFL quarterback tonight and looks like somebody that should get a little bit of a sniff with the Saints, even when Taysom Hill is back and Trevor Siemian, because he showed some promise and potential tonight and showed some presence out there, especially Ian for Book how much did? He got whacked.
Ian Book?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought Ian Book looked like a child today. I mean, I got to disagree with you on that one.
Oh, it's let's see how he looks when he's not getting drilled every play. Because, I mean, there were moments that he stayed with it. And I'm not saying he was special in this game by any stretch. But given the fact that they literally had guys off the street coming in to play tackle at the end of the game, in you know, Murphy being an example there, and the fact that Miami's defense was swarming him and playing confusing, I thought he held some poise in this game and made some good passes when he could.
He did have a 60% completion percentage. That's the best I'm going to say about him. I mean, then again, Tua didn't look all that great throughout the game too, but he is far above what Ian Book produced. The Saints did not have, many weapons. The Dolphins swarmed Alvin Kamara at every opportunity. 13 carries for 52 yards, and 19 of them came on one run when it was third and 23 or something in that range. So, yeah, the Dolphins' run defense did incredibly well, and they put heat on the quarterback all freaking day. And if you take out a, 56-yard catch by little Jordan Humphrey against Byron Jones late in the game when the game was out of reach, I mean, not many catches against Xavien Howard and Byron Jones.
No, and boy, Xavien Howard, when they did catch one near him, sure seemed to make people pay today. This... I think he was reading all those comments about the missed tackle last week that was bad, because he was playing physical when anybody came near him with the ball in their hands tonight.
Xavien Howard had a sack tonight. I can't remember the last time I saw that on a stat sheet.
I think it's been 3 years.
After all we saw tonight, Xavien Howard had a sack. Andrew Van Ginkel and Jalen Phillips did not, even though they seemed like they were all over the field and were pressuring the quarterback at all times. And Andrew Van Ginkel, by the way, was 100% responsible for that pick six early in the game, because the ball was redirected from the hands of Ian Book and right into the hands of Nick Needham. That is 100% on Andrew Van Ginkel. Good for him. He never seems to show up in the stat sheet this year, but
he affects so many things.
He does. He really does.
Hey, Jalen Phillips. Did Van Ginkel show up in the stat sheet at all? Yeah, he did. He had two tackles. But it's between the two of them, that's two tackles. But they seem to impact so many plays. Like you said, the deflected ball early on to Nick Needham, allowing him to get that defensive touchdown early. God, it's when they showed how many times Ian Book got hit, knocked down, pressured, rushed, sacked. Good Lord. Like, I'm surprised he made it to the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so, Paul, let's get to our grades here.
Yes.
At quarterback, you know, Tua on the stat sheet, it looks pretty decent. You know, 19 for 26, 198 yards, a touchdown, an interception. I would argue that the touchdown was a flip pass to Jalen Waddle, and the interception was really bad at a time where it really could have hurt the Dolphins too. Had some ups and downs. And I, quite honestly, I don't think it was good enough. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Next week, the Dolphins are going to go into Tennessee, and they're going to face Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans in an opportunity to knock off the number two seed and win their eighth straight game. If we see what we saw here today with or over the last two games with Tua, it's not going to be good enough. If Ryan Tannehill looked as good as he did against the 49ers once he got A.J. Brown back, Tua will be out-dueled by Ryan Tannehill next week if that happens. And I am not going to sit back and say that that's okay if the Dolphins don't win their eighth straight game next week. So I'm going to say this is a C-minus game, the same grade I gave him last week.
So I'm not going to go as low as you on this one. Yes, that touchdown was on a designed shovel pass to Jaylen Waddle. But if you look back and start taking away for shovel passes, Brett Favre might as well erase the last 8 years of his career. You start going down the list of, I mean, you look at the things with the Bills beating the Patriots this week and the kudos and love Josh Allen got for taking over a drive by making some shovel passes when it counted. And I'm not saying two is Josh Allen right now, but the interception was bad. But then you look at where he put the ball on that Mac Hollins throw. He and Mac Hollins have a rapport. I keep saying it. I want to see Hollins on the field more. It's, you know, I would have liked to see a little more Devontae Parker tonight. I would have liked to see a little bit more of, or any of, Devontae Parker in this game. But at the same time, shovel passes still count as passes. I'll take it. I can give Tua a B-minus here. I'm not saying he did anything special in this game, but he didn't do anything to lose the game in this one. And that's where, you know, the only thing that I wish he wouldn't do that he did tonight, other than that one weird throw that he seems to have once a game, is I think he got a little bit of that angry runs in his head from last week, and he tried to do it tonight, and it really didn't work.
I will say this. The second drive for the Dolphins, when they went up 10-0, if that fumble that he had that was ricocheted 20 yards back, if that would have been recovered by the Saints, it would have been a completely different game. And the Dolphins may not have scored a point in the first half. And it's got to be better the next 2 weeks. And I'm hopeful that he's going to play better. But this was not good enough. And in the second half, he played better. But that's it.
Kat, I got to ask you here, because it's something I saw in the chat. Do you feel I'm making excuses for Tua? Because I don't think I made any excuses, per se. I just gave reasons why I'm not as down on him, even though I think he does need to improve. A B-minus is a needs-to-improve grade, correct?
I think you're grading a little bit more on the curve for him, but I didn't hear an excuse you were making.
Okay. Just curious. We're good.
All right.
Running
backs, Philip Lindsay and Duke Johnson, I feel, are between the tackles against this Saints defense that, look, heading into this game, the Saints defense were allowing 3.65 yards a carry to opposing running backs for the season, by far the best in the league. 3.29 yards a carry to opposing starting running backs heading into this game. Duke Johnson and Philip Lindsay right around that 3 yards per carry mark. And I felt like they were getting, you know, what was there, what was blocked. And there were a lot more second and five, second and sevens, as opposed to those second and 13s that we saw under Myles Gaskin over the previous several weeks. So, you know, it's hard to grade the Dolphins running back position higher than a C, given that they only averaged, you know, 3 yards a carry or so. But I thought they did a serviceable job here.
They did okay. I mean, it's like you said, the Saints defense is tremendous against the run. And I'm not going to say our running backs were anything special. I was reading something when you gave your grade, so I'm totally coming out of mine with no impact on what you said grade-wise. For me, however, I think while they had some good runs when it counted, I still think we need to improve a little bit in our running game, despite the fact that we went against a good defense. And really, we could have put this away with our run game if we could have got them rolling here. For me, I've got to go with a C- in this one. I think Duke had some nice runs. Lindsey was okay tonight for me. And then Gaskin was Gaskin. So it is what it is. Kelly, Titans are the team to worry about right now. Then the next one up, the Patriots are reeling a little bit right now.
Why are people saying in the chat that I'm disrespecting the Saints defense? Like, I'm not sure the pathway to that. I'm just giving the facts concerning that. So anybody that wants to speak up, go ahead and do that. At receiver, Jalen Waddle is now 5 catches away from breaking Anquan Boldin's record for all-time receptions in a season. And it's very well deserved when you see this game. To me, he was the star of this game. The separation that he got was fantastic. And if you look on the season now, 96 catches, 944 yards, 6 touchdowns. Yeah, Devontae Parker didn't have a catch today. But also, too, the design of the Saints defense is to have Marshawn Lattimore take a Devontae Parker out of the equation. And I've got to look at the film a little bit more and see if that was actually the case tonight. And see how many snaps Parker played too. Mike Gesicki had 3 catches for 22 yards and wasn't a big part of the game plan. It looked like Durham Smythe was a bigger part of the game plan today. So as far as the receiver unit is concerned, I've got to grade them at a – I'm going to go with a C-plus for them because of Jalen Waddle and the catches he made. And that Mac Hollins reception – was the play of the game, that 40-yard catch.
It was. And after you run down the list, the tight end position, we had 6 receptions for 53 yards in this one. Jalen Waddle had the 10 for 92 and a touchdown to tie Jerry Rice's rookie receiving record on Monday Night Football with 10 receptions. He's rapidly closing in on the individual rookie receiving record, at least for total receptions, as you pointed out. Mac Hollins came up key yet again. Isaiah Ford, while he was held off the board, actually served as a distraction several times in this game to readjust their defense. And there's something to be said for that. And then Tommy Lee Lewis, with his 1 reception for 7 yards on a shovel, looked electric. And with a conservative game plan for the Dolphins tonight, who were playing a little bit not to lose and to wear down the defense and not make mistakes, I can give the receiver position, mostly because of Waddle, Hollins, and the tight ends, I can give them a B- here, and maybe almost a B. They weren't anything special, but they weren't anything bad in this game. They didn't make a lot of mistakes. They drew some penalties, and they made some good blocks as well on a few plays. So
I agree with Brett Dodger in the chat here. Waddle A, the rest C. I think that's pretty right on the money there. And offensive line. Jesse Davis had a cringeworthy attempt block at the end of the first half against Cameron Jordan,
yeah,
where it took – the Dolphins were up 10-3 at the time, and Jesse Davis barely touched Cameron Jordan. He sacked Tua, took him out of field goal range. There was still an attempted field goal by Jason Sanders where he nailed actually on the first attempt, and then there was a timeout, and then missed the one after that. It was a 58-yard attempt. That could have put the Dolphins up 13-3 at halftime, but they went up 10-3 at halftime. Luckily, they came back in the second half early on, made it 17-3. But when we keep talking about fewer and fewer errors from the Dolphins offensive line, I think that's a good thing. Liam Eikenberg was flagged for a penalty that should not have been called. Other than that, I didn't hear his name very much. Jesse Davis had that embarrassing sack from Cameron Jordan and also had a couple of more bad reps on top of that. Michael Dieter had a holding call. Robert Hunt had a solid game. Austin Jackson had one holding call, but his mistakes are kind of limited at this point. So offensive line, I've got to give him the highest grade here, and it's a C-plus for me.
I'll stick with you on the C-plus with these guys. There wasn't really a lot that was egregious. I'm not going to ding Eikenberg for the hold on that play, but I'll ding him for the fact that Davenport ate his lunch a little bit on that play. Jesse Davis, when he's bad, he's bad. When he's good, he's good. When he's good, he's okay. And he was going against Cam Jordan tonight. But yeah, we've talked about it before. There's no secret here that Jesse Davis needs to be upgraded this offseason. And I'm pretty sure he will be, or at least they'll attempt to do so. But
I agree.
Overall, the offensive line played well. They didn't do as great of a job opening up holes in the run game. But again, the Saints defense is a very good defense. And even missing a few players. Miami's done the same with missing a few players over the past 8 weeks at times.
Right. And just to piggyback on that, sorry to cut you off there, Paul, is that this is the best run defense in the NFL that the Dolphins faced here today. And because the Dolphins were winning for the entire game, they were playing inside this box as far as trying to run the football. So it's actually kind of impressive that they were able to get 2, 3, 4 yards when they could have easily been wrangled up behind the line of scrimmage more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look back, God, how many sacks? I don't have it right in front of me. I was hoping you were going to be a little more long-winded there for a second. How many sacks did they have last week against the Bucs?
I think not as many as you'd think. I'm trying to remember now.
I'm looking.
I believe they had five. I believe they had five.
So against arguably one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, against Brady, who's very good at getting the ball out quickly, against the blitz, etc., they had five sacks last week. I'm just double checking as we speak, but they had five sacks, and they came in against Miami tonight and had three. And you look at what their defense did to the high-powered, high-octane Buccaneers offense last week, and Miami was able to weather the storm against them. It's absolutely a scenario where we can ding the offensive line all day, but they played better than the Buccaneers offensive line did against the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, SoFlo Sports said in chat, I like Dieter at center. I do too, because he's on a rookie contract and he is a serviceable player. I mean, how many times have we heard Michael Dieter's name over the last, you know, several weeks since he's been back from IR? Not many. I mean, he had a holding call today, but other than that, I think he's a good player, and that was his best position at Wisconsin, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing him throughout the rest of the year as well. Defensive side of the ball, Paul, now it's time to have a little bit of fun. 8 sacks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't care who you play. When you go on Monday Night Football and you have 8 sacks and you hold the opposing team to 3 points, and Sean Payton, who is regarded as a genius play caller, you hold anybody that he's coaching on the offensive side of the ball, even though he's had, you know, Taysom Hill, Trevor Siemian, Jameis Winston, you hold them to 0-for-12 on third down. That's impressive.
Yeah, no. And oof, God, our D-line played so, so well tonight. Emmanuel Agba threw down 2 sacks. Zach Sealer was all over the field in this one. And Christian Wilkins continues to be the guy that I said probably should have been looked at in that Pro Bowl conversation, which, you know, I'm willing to admit when I was wrong. If I want to gloat, I got to admit when I was wrong. And I wasn't sold on Wilkins at the beginning of the year this year. And he stepped up and become every bit the player we were waiting for him to be with, I think it was the 13th overall pick a couple years ago. Raekwon Davis was an animal tonight. I mean, you go up and down that defensive line, and they were everywhere. They smothered Kamara. There were a couple of plays I saw Agba or Phillips or whoever was on the D-line dropping into coverage and preventing some of those screens that we all know Sean Payton loves. So, yeah, it's I am going to give the D-line for the first time all year an A-plus in this one.
I'm going to match you on the A-plus, and that's my first A-plus of the year too. And I don't give those out lightly. I mean,
I'm going to make my whole old face.
Like, it's Emmanuel Ogba was he had two sacks. He should have had more. Jalen Phillips is not somebody who's going to whip around the edge and get sacks. He is going to cover a lot of ground out there on the edge. And that's in pass rush situations. That's in run defense. I'm shocked that he has 8.5 sacks this year. Zach Sealer was a monster. I agree with John Gordon in our chat here on that. Raekwon Davis gets his first sack of the year, actually half a sack. And his first half a sack, he could have. And that's his first sack in his career. Believe it or not, which sounds kind of weird. And Christian Wilkins not only gets a sack, but also draws that penalty where Alvin Kamara comes up and punches him in the back of the head. Like, what are you doing? I mean,
you know what he was doing. He stole Alvin Kamara's towel off his waist while he was walking away.
Yeah, so he baited him into that, and then that allowed Alvin Kamara comes up and punches him in the back of the head in the next play. The mind games that Christian Wilkins has played, that elevates the grade to an A-plus for me. That, you know, when I was thinking between A and A-plus, that was the difference for me.
When's the last time
you saw a D-end
get completely up in Alvin Kamara's head?
Never. I mean, usually Alvin Kamara's not in the same space as a defensive tackle. But he was tonight, and he punched somebody in the back of the head who was Christian Wilkins. Incredible. Zach Sealer was a monster. And, I mean, this is the most underrated player in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned.
This defense came out tonight, and I know we're talking about just the D-line right now, but I'm going to say this across the defense. This defense came out to be a bunch of bullies tonight in a way that I absolutely love. And they don't do it with cheap shots. You can see that they're having fun. You can see that they play for each other and they're playing well. And, it's so much fun to watch this defense play. I really hope they can re-sign Agba this offseason and maybe grab a linebacker to replace a Landon stupid Roberts, the one thing that bothers me every time he's on the field. But outside of that, like, this defense could come back practically intact next year. And with the Dolphins having 70 mil, like, or if you re-sign Agba, you're talking about probably just north of 60 million to play with on offense. Holy crap.
And now Agba has 9+ sacks for the second year in a row with the Dolphins, and is probably going to, you would have to think, get to double digit sacks over the next two games. So, he's going to cost a pretty penny, and he's worth it too. Adam Butler, we haven't even talked about. I mean, still a pass rush presence on the inside. The Dolphins go 6 or 7 deep on their defensive line. At linebacker, you talked about Jerome Baker. Andrew Van Ginkle had that play early in the game. Doesn't have the stat sheet glamour, but is all over the field. And when you face somebody like Alvin Kamara, who can really run away from people, but still in this game, 13 carries for 52 yards and 19 of them came on one rush.
Against basically a prevent defense.
Yeah, and what did he have receiving today? I mean, not much.
I got it right here. Receiving, he had 2 catches for 7 yards.
Yeah, that's holding Alvin Kamara, the focal point of the Saints offense by far, to 59 total yards. 19 touches. Of them on one rush. That's a hell of a job, and that is a testament to the job the linebackers did. So even though – well, they did make big plays here. I mean, Jerome Baker had a couple of sacks.
Jerome Baker was a monster tonight.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with an A-minus for him.
I am right there with you on the A-minus, actually. Landon Roberts had a couple of goofy plays, and really outside of Jerome Baker, I loved what Andrew Van Ginkle did, even though he didn't pack the stat sheet. Jalen Phillips moved around a little bit, but most of his impact came on the defensive line. Landon Roberts just is okay-ish kind of enough. But again, an A-minus. Baker threw down what should have been 2 sacks, possibly more. Was all over the field, was a big part of limiting Kamara. I'm comfortable with an A-minus for these guys. And I'm going to jump you with an A-plus for the secondary tonight. Pick 6. Xavien Howard playing physical. Byron Jones playing well. Callaway did okay. But you know what? They're really 4 catches for 46 yards. Being your stellar offensive player for the Saints tonight, not good enough. And I loved what I saw from the secondary. Javon Holland was all over the field. Brandon Jones getting sacks. Xavien Howard getting a sack. Good Lord, there's so much to unpack with this secondary. I can go A-plus for these guys.
I'm not going to throw out 2 A-pluses, so I'm just going to go with an A. Nick Needham.
Well, your grade is now an A-minus for tonight, Kat.
Nick Needham gets the pick 6 off the deflected pass from Andrew Van Ginkle. And, you know, Xavien Howard and Byron Jones just dominate and lock down any opponent that they face that they're better than. We constantly do this show and talk about, you know, the receiving core, not just the wide receivers that they face, but the receiving core having, you know, 6-7 catches for 65-70 yards. And that's reflective of the Dolphins defensive backs. And welcome back, Javon Holland. He didn't have any major plays tonight. You know, he had half a sack. He's all over the field, and he's also covering the deep center all the time. Brandon Jones, 5th sack of the year. I don't know many strong safeties in the NFL that have 5 sacks on the year, and he got his first interception as well late in the game. I'm pushing toward an A-plus, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick with an A.
That's fair. Special teams. I'll let you take this one.
If Jason Sanders had nailed that 58-yarder that he had practiced before that timeout, I would give it a higher grade, probably an A-. Mike Pilardi, when he punts the ball at the Dolphins 30, still does not get it to where Matt Hawk got it to, and that's my standard for punting the ball, because you can really flip field position in that situation. He didn't. He's okay. He's fine.
He's consistent.
Jason Sanders, though, did bail out Tua Tagovailoa when the Dolphins were up 7-0, because that ball was ricocheted 20 yards back, and he nailed a 48-yard field goal, but the Dolphins up 10-0 really set the tone for the game. Tommy Lee Lewis, I like as a returner. I mean, he doesn't do anything special, but he's a good player. Catches the ball, doesn't fumble, doesn't have a history of fumbling. I'd like to see him continue to be the Dolphins returner throughout the year. So, you know, unless I'm missing a play somewhere, I'm going to go with a B-plus.
I'm going to go with a B-minus. Sanders continues to be a worry for me. He's missed far too many field goals for a guy that was, you know, Mr. Reliable coming into the season. I know it was a long one, but he's got the leg for it, and you cannot be a playoff team and have a field goal kicker missing kicks on the regular, and right now we do. I've been saying it for weeks now. And Craig, I hope you're right. I hope we do force five sacks and three turnovers next week. But I agree with you on Tommy Lee Lewis. There's something about him, and we haven't fully gotten to see it yet, but there's something about him that just feels like lightning in a bottle that's just going to explode out at some point. There feels like there's something electric with him when you see him out there, even though we haven't gotten to fully get a look at it yet. And I really want to see him get loose with one here. But the Jason Sanders thing hurts. And it's funny because you said that about Pilardi. He doesn't do what Hawk did with those booming kicks that we got used to with Hawk. But he also doesn't have that 3 or 4 game stretch where you see Hawk shank one or two off his foot for 12 yards. So it's in the middle there.
I thought Hawk was getting better and better.
He last was, year. But then he would revert and have like a 2 game stretch or a 3 game stretch where he was shanking balls off the side of his foot.
I don't think he was really last year, but he does have a history of doing that.
Yeah.
So in Pilardi, when you look at him,
talking about the entirety of his career, and you know it was feast or famine with it. Pilardi doesn't have the leg Hawk does, but he's more consistent.
Yeah, if he's punting the ball inside the Dolphins, you know, from the Dolphins 30-yard line. Then he's pretty decent, but I don't see the coffin corners as often either. No. I mean,
our coverage units though are as good as they've ever been.
Yeah, they're really good. Mac Hollins is the biggest part of that, and he should have made the Pro Bowl as special teamer, no doubt about that. So let's go to our player of the game and our Coke Bus player of the game, Paul. I'm going to throw it to you on that.
Player of the game. God, there's so many guys we could go with tonight. I mean, there's Sealer, there's Baker, there's Waddle. I will give this one to somebody I don't think I've given it to before, and that's the tiebreaker for me. I am going to give it to big Zach Sully Sealer in this game. He was everywhere tonight. Good Lord, he could have had more sacks than he did. 3 tackles, 3 assists. He forced Ian Book into other sacks. He prevented a few things from Kamara. It started up front with his defense, and Sealer was a huge part of what they did on defense tonight. I can give it to Sealer. As far as Coke Bus player of the game, it just feels too easy right now. But Jesse Davis, get on the bus. The way you got smoked on third down to put Sanders in a bad position there to begin with, you just can't do that. I know it was Cam Jordan. I know he does the good offensive tackles, but pretend you're one. Ride this train and keep Tua upright. Stop making him run for his damn life.
Yeah, only 2 more games with Jesse Davis as far as I'm concerned. He's going to be cut after the year, and the Dolphins are going to save over $4 million by doing that. My player of the game is going to be Jaylen Waddle. I mean, the separation he got set the tone for the entire offense. And now when you talk about him being 4 catches away from 100 on the year, I mean, even missing a game, yeah, I mean – this is a really special player in the Dolphins offense, and in a way that Jarvis Landry was never special in the Dolphins offense. I don't think the Dolphins dictate any matchups on offense without Jaylen Waddle here today. Coke Bus player, I've got to go at the wide receiver position again. I've got to go with DeVante Parker. I mean, he wasn't a big part of the game plan, but if we're talking about somebody who is missing games every year with injuries, and then he gets on the field and gets blanked by a Pro Bowl cornerback, that's not good enough.
Parker, I got to go back and look at, because I don't know how much help they were giving on his way. I'd really have to go back and look at it in this one.
And I have to look and see how many snaps he played too. That's part of doing the show here on Monday night. But overall, Paul, I mean, seven wins in a row for the first time since I was 2 years old. I'm 38 now. Dolphins have never won seven in a row in my lifetime. And next week they play Ryan Tannehill. And I want to crush him so badly. I'm going to be so angry if the Dolphins don't win that game. And I'm going to be angrier if they win that game and they don't beat the Patriots the following weekend.
And here's what I'll say with the Titans coming in. The Titans are probably the best team we faced in this stretch. But Miami is built well to play against what the Titans do well, as far as their offense versus our defense. Especially with Derrick Henry out. You look at A.J. Brown, okay? We've got Xavier Howard, and we've got help over the top with guys like Javon Holland, Brandon Jones. You look at the other side of the field, and yeah, they're really running through the two wide receivers right now. I'm blanking right now. Jesus, he's a Hall of Fame player.
Julio
Jones. And we've got Byron Jones. So it's... If we can force Tannehill to make mistakes, and with the way this defense is swarming right now and the way our front seven is playing right now, we should be able to make some noise defense versus offense. But it's going to come down to whether our offense can make some noise versus our defense in that one. And if we can get through this, the Titans right now are playing better than the Patriots. The Patriots have not looked good the last few weeks.
They have not, and the Dolphins are going to have to go through both of those teams to get to the playoffs. I mean, right now, the Dolphins would be in the playoffs in the seventh seed heading into this game. Ooh. But let's be honest, if they're 1-1 in the next two games, they're not making the playoffs. And I agree with you. I think they match up very favorably with the Titans, because Ryan Tannehill – and that offense, they like to operate from the wide receiver position on in with Derrick Henry out of the lineup. A.J. Brown came back. He had, 12 catches for 150 yards last week against the Niners defense. But the Niners defense plays a very heavy zone, bail and trail type of technique with their cornerbacks. That's not the case with Byron Jones and Xavier Howard. So –
And what we need to keep an eye on, and I'm glad we don't do the show until probably Saturday, is the fact that, and somebody just pointed this out in chat, and I was double-checking on it, Julio Jones just went on the COVID-19 list. Westbrook Ikhine, Bud Dupree, and Buster Skrine all are now up in the air for Week 17. And that could be pretty big, especially considering they've already got Nate Davis, Taylor Lewan, and Kendall Lamb on the COVID-19 list as well. So that's something to keep an eye on as far as the Titans go for who they will actually have available this week. Because if they're without Julio Jones and Derrick Henry, our chances, I think, go up a little bit. If they're without Buster Skrine and Bud Dupree, our chances go up a little bit. So this is something to definitely keep an eye on as we move forward throughout the week.
Yeah, they'll definitely be without Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry, heading into this week, was still fifth in the NFL in rushing yards. And he's been out since week seven. That's crazy. Julio Jones, to me, is a shell of his former self. I hope I don't come back to eat those words.
But a shell of his former self as a number two receiver is very different than asking him to be the number one.
Yeah, that's for sure. So we'll see. I mean,
seven wins for our seventh seed, baby.
Big, big game next weekend and for the next 2 weeks. But we're here, and we are going to be here the next 2 weeks. thank you for joining us here tonight after this 20-3 Dolphins win on Monday Night Football over the New Orleans Saints. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, the Fansided Network, as well as the FinFanatic.com website. I'm Brian Catt, NFL. Paul is Fanatic_pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.